You want us to talk?
Yeah, just...
All right. Well, I'm, my sister, Ines, I'm the youngest girl in the family, and her mother is my oldest sister, and she is the oldest daughter of her mother. Does that make sense?
And this is Marjorie Jarvis and Thelma Rollins?
Mm-hmm.
And you had a farm out near north of Somerville.
Yes, with my husband. If that's the time period you're interested in, we bought timbered land, 80 acres to begin with, and in 1950, and cleared it. Back in those days, they didn't have the stud mill at Elgin where the small trees could go, you know, and so they pushed them up in windrows and burned them. And then in 52 we built a small, wasn't quite a cabin, but I guess maybe you might call it a cabin. It wasn't log or anything. But then before my husband retired, be about 1960, I guess, probably, or 61, we added on to the house and made it a big house. And he retired in 72.
From farming?
With the railroad. He was with the Union Pacific in the agricultural department with headquarters in Omaha. That's why we had lived in Omaha 30 years and then came back and to this farm. And our son farmed for 20 years? I don't know. About 20 years, I guess.
What kind of crops were they growing out there in the 50s?
We grew mostly grass seed. Some grain, but mostly grass seed, because that soil was better suited for that than it was for the grain crops.
Mm-hmm. So you had wheat?
Not much wheat.
You had grass seed and wheat?
Grass seed mostly, and a little wheat. Mm-hmm. But we had most of the farm in grass seed.
Were there any orchard crops out there at the time? No.
No. I don't know. Maybe we were a little too far north, because up towards the mountain they do. I mean, along the edge of the mountain they do. And they had a lot of orchard crops.
Yeah.
But we never in that particular area. I don't remember of any orchards over there, do you? Really big ones? Till you get over to Pumpkin Ridge or up towards Mount Glen. And
Goswins had some cherries or something up there. But I don't think it was a great amount.
Mm-hmm. And there was, out there, there's the old Grange Hall?
Mm-hmm.
Pleasant Grove Grange.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember when that started, but I mean it was way back.
Yes. When I was a little girl, about 8 years old, they had an affair. I don't remember if it was a Grange meeting or if it was a dance, because they held dances on the weekends when they didn't have Grange. And I got tired and I laid down on the chairs, just stretched out and went to sleep. And I woke up and it was dark. The folks had missed me by that time, and they were coming back, so I wasn't alone in the dark very long. Now I'm 84, so you know how many years ago that was.
All right. Did they have bands out there?
They had little local bands. There were people by the name of Johnston, and the one brother played the piano. And one played the violin. What did Martha do? Didn't she play something? Maybe she played.
She played the piano.
Piano. Well, what did Ray do then? There was the three of them, and they played. But yes, they played for dances, and then other local people would join. But they had good old time dances, and then all the young kids grew up going to the Pleasant Grove Grange Hall. The dances.
All right. Square dance, round dance.
Mostly just round dance.
Right on that same lot was the Pleasant Grove School.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's north.
And everybody just on the when you pull in there, it was on the north side of that.
Now, do you know when that was still in use?
When did I teach school at Pumpkin Ridge?
I was in high school.
Were you?
Or I don't know if it went out before.
I think Pumpkin Ridge was the first one that went into Imler, and I don't know whether, I would guess that Pleasant Grove and Dry Creek were about the same time.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was gone at that time, but it was a, so that, Mikey was in the fifth grade, you know, what day that, what year that would have been?
She was born in 35.
Well, she'd have been about 10 or 11.
So
that was about...
It was about the end of the war. Yeah. It was getting pretty close.
And they had, then they closed the country school and had got buses and bust up Denver.
And there was one at Dry Creek.
Yes. The old school building is still there.
One at Willow Creek.
Yeah.
That building's still there too, isn't it? Isn't it a shed behind that house?
Oh, I didn't think so. I thought it was gone. I don't know.
When you come off the road from Highway 82 and then round that corner over Willow Creek, right there on the hill.
Right there on the right-hand side?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Willow Creek school
was.
Oh, okay.
And that was Willow Creek.
I can't remember if the building's there or not.
I know Shirley Hibbert.
Yeah, Shirley went there. Yeah, she did.
So she was a year or so older than I am.
You know Bill Landman?
Yeah, I know the name.
He probably could come up with a lot of stuff.
He just might. He went to school at Pumpkin Ridge.
Now, you taught at Pumpkin Ridge?
Yeah.
For
how did you get that?
Well, you just...
Did I just say
you
so?
You just said something about...
Oh, I didn't remember.
Or Thelma did about when you taught at Pumpkin Ridge.
Oh, I taught 1 year.
1 year. Mm-hmm. And there was a school?
And that was the last year. I said I closed it.
Oh.
I was so good they couldn't get another teacher.
She got married and left.
Was
that around the same time they were getting rid of all the country schools?
I think it was about the first one that went. Maybe Willow Creek. I don't know. But 1938 was the spring of 38. 37, 38 was the last school year. Because I was married in June. And that was...
Well, how many students did you have? You must remember that if you only taught 1 year.
I do. I had five.
Oh.
Oh, I thought there were six. Hmm. Well, I had six.
There was the two Barton girls and Billy and Arla and Buddy Coffin. Hmm. They were seventh graders, then the other three were singles.
Hmm.
First, second, and fourth, and two seventh graders.
Hmm. So you did it all.
I was janitor, too.
My mom did it all at Dry Creek. How many students did she have at
She must have been up in the 20s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish she was able to talk to you. She's got a lot of stories, and remembers a lot. She's 96.
Oh, well.
But she isn't able to do that.
Oh,
now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She lives next door.
If there's any particular questions you had, we could probably ask her, but she
wouldn't want to interview her.
No, she's not able to do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, how about, what were some of the...
When was it that the articles were in the little paper?
Two years ago. 2 years ago, if you could get the Elgin... The little Elgin paper. That would be about August, isn't it? Wasn't it August? They have a school, a little country school reunion at Somerville. They started out as a Dry Creek school reunion, and people were disappearing. Just weren't able to come anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so they decided, let's have all of the country schools in the North End. So there's five. Somerville, Dry Creek, Willow Creek, Pumpkin Ridge, and Pleasant Grove. The five. And we have a pretty good crowd now. There must have been 30 or 40, the last one.
But they interviewed Mom, and I learned stuff in that article.
And that would be 2 years ago, I think.
And they still have the reunions.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good deal.
We have them every fall. In September, August, I think, is when they started having them, because September they ran into the Pendleton Roundup.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And but you'd be surprised. People come from, we've had them come from Idaho, over
Alaska.
Alaska, these students that have gone to school. Her mother taught school at Dry Creek for 4 years.
She substituted some besides that.
Yeah,
too.
She did that. But that was her school for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I was in school to her. I went to school to her. She taught the year I was eighth grade. Mm.
I graduated from the eighth grade from Dry Creek School.
Did you?
The sister also taught at Somerville for 2 years. She went to Monmouth after she graduated from high school in 24. She went to Monmouth to school for a year and came back and taught at Somerville, first through four grades, for 2 years. And then she went to Ashland and got her second year. In those days, they only had to have 2 years to be able to teach.
So she went to Southern Oregon.
She went to Southern Oregon, mm-hmm. Yeah. And
Western Oregon.
So she's pretty well known. She's got a lot of students left around, students that went to school to her that are getting up.
Yeah, that year they did. Somebody came. She was so disgusted. She said she didn't get to visit with anybody because that person kept asking her questions. Spoiled her day, but she doesn't have much stamina, so she was worn out. But there were 15 of her students at the reunion.
Boy, that is neat.
And she's the last person living in her high school class, isn't that
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got graduated from Embler.
Mm. What were some of the families that were out there, the names of some of the families?
Oh, my. There was...
Maybe they're still there, or maybe not.
I bet you've talked to Emery Oliver, haven't you?
No, this is my first interview.
Oh, is it?
No,
well,
yes.
You better talk to Emery Oliver. He's got all kinds of stories.
Okay.
Yeah, he and my dad collected stuff. Daddy got all the stuff when they tore down the... school over there at Pleasant Grove. He got all the old records and stuff in there and took them up to the college and they put them on.
Yep. Elmer Oliver?
No. Emery.
Emery.
Emery Oliver. Her dad was Henry Freeze.
Henry Freeze was my dad. But he and Emery used to hash over history a whole bunch.
Emery went to Dry Creek. The school. He lived about a quarter of a mile. Huh?
Did Dad get the Willow Creek records too?
I don't know.
He did Somerville's because they were scattered in the old, was that a Masonic Hall?
Yeah.
The old Masonic Hall. So when they went to tear it down here where all those school records scattered. He mm-hmm. gathered them all up and brought them up to the college.
The college has them.
Mm-hmm. They did have them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they did. Well, they were putting them on computer, so because a lot of it was
Now where was the Masonic Hall?
In Somerville,
where the church is now.
Church is in Somerville, and it was on that corner. Now the church started over here and there was this big building here and then the street, and it was on that corner.
The new part of the church
brick?
Is
was it a brick?
No, it wood.
Oh.
Somerville used to, in order to finance the cemetery, I don't know whether it was just community, it must have been just the community, put on a huge Memorial Day dinner, and it was always served in the Masonic Hall. And people would come from, way off on Memorial Day. That's when they came back to visit. Because mm-hmm. this wonderful meal.
And they'd be lined up for dinner
and
donations, 2 blocks down the street.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they would. And donations of food. You never saw such pie in your life. And ice cream. They always had the best ice cream.
Homemade.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
And so that financed the cemetery.
And that financed the cemetery until they got on the tax rolls.
That is a nice cemetery.
It is.
I like that cemetery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a lot of ancestors there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Both sets of my grandparents are there. And so that would be her grandparents, great-grandparents. Mm-hmm. And what else have we got there? But hey, lots of aunts.
My husband.
Yeah, her husband is there.
My dad and his dad and mother.
Yeah. See, and they came from Luxembourg and Germany.
Uh-huh. Well, see, that's a unique thing, like would never happen in this day and age, where you finance a cemetery through big dinner.
Yeah. Well, they're still having those dinners, no? but what does it go to?
It's the Rebecca's.
Oh, the Rebecca's.
Yeah, and it isn't very big, I don't think, anymore, but it's just a little financial, yeah. A way of getting some finances. Mm-hmm. But
Emory Oliver was, he ran the cemetery for how many years?
I have no idea.
I don't remember who was there. Oh, Maud McCrae was there before.
I guess. Emory's getting old. He's 90. He had his 90th birthday, but he still has I guess he's still pretty bright as far as his mind is concerned. And boy, he can tell stories.
We'll have to get a hold of him.
Yeah, I have to get a hold of him. He's got a story about some guy buried out at the cemetery that was buried with his whiskey or something. I don't know. He's got. He always has to tell that story. But yeah, Emory. He's the one that got all the records together, and then.
But he can't find your great grandpa's.
No,
there were no records.
Yeah, that's who.
Grandpa Brain.
My great grandfather is buried out there.
He said he wouldn't know it except we told him. But when I was a kid, there was a Union. Star thing, yeah. Plaque type thing.
Metal.
Yeah.
Metal. And they took all those during the war and used them
during World War II.
Oh,
yeah.
Melted for metal.
So yeah. There wasn't any record.
So there's no record and no marker anymore. We know where the grave is, but.
Uh-huh. He told me if I could find it, I could get a veteran's plaque for it, you know. And it's just something I haven't gotten done yet.
Well,
time's a waste.
And we'll
come to roadblocks along the way, you have tried.
Well, what were some of the other families out there?
All right, well, the Olivers was a prominent name. Emory. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Emory.
Emory's dad and Margie's dad were best buddies growing up.
Yeah. My home place, where I was born, and where I was raised, not born. You know where the Dry Creek Schoolhouse is out there?
Well,
it's a red building, and it's got a little plaque on it at the top. It says Dry Creek School.
I haven't been out there in so long. I can't remember.
But anyway, it's that road.
Yeah, then you go from the school. Somerville Road goes from Imbler over to Phillips Creek.
Yes.
All right, and you go by the Dry Creek Schoolhouse.
Okay.
And then there's a road that goes towards the mountain, and now it's called Dry Creek Lane. And the first house on the right-hand side of going up that way was the Woodles. Have you heard that name
before?
Yes,
oh yes.
Well, I was a Woodle. And that house that's standing there, not as it is now, because there have been lots of improvements and changes and so forth, but the house originally was built by my grandfather when my dad was 2 years old.
Oh.
And so
Before that, they had a place on the little knob right across the creek, you know. But mother sold it in 1975, and it had been in the family 102 years.
No.
So.
Now in Oregon, do they give? Is there a centennial farm?
They call it Century Farm.
Okay, Century Farm.
Yes.
Yeah, Grace was getting paperwork for it.
We weren't able to do that because her brother rented it. He had it, and then he rented it to somebody else, and so it wasn't farmed one of those years.
He went full-time National Guard because it was the years that farming was really bad.
Oh, yeah, it was tough. But because of that 1 year of renting, of having rented out, they weren't, that's what your mom told me, they couldn't, they weren't able to get the
year.
Century Farm.
Three or four.
She still owned it, but they didn't farm it.
three or four young men right in the area had to leave farming at that time that had intended on farming their family places.
You wanted to know about other names. The Royces.
Oh, yes.
Now, they lived on up the road. And George... Well, G. Royce. Do you know G. Royce?
Mm-hmm. G. and Val. Mm-hmm.
G. and Val.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
G.'s grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
It was he lived up there, and
His other grandfather was on Brooks Lane. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Hurons.
But that,
that's out toward him.
She was Brooks, right?
Who was
Anna and Stella?
Yeah, Anna and Stella were Brooks.
Yeah.
So that was at the Royces. Is that was that the original farm where G and Val are now?
No, no.
Oh.
No, this is up on the same road as the Dry Creek Schoolhouse, up a half a mile beyond where I was raised. That, I think we were
across the road. First the house on the south.
And then, let's see, that the other house there didn't have a permanent family residence for changed law. And then
it was part of the original Woodle, place.
Yeah,
so was Royce's, actually.
Yeah, they were all part
of
my grandfather's
estate.
Uncle
sold that one, and another one sold the place across the road.
And then you go on up the hill and a little way, about another quarter of a mile, and it was McInnes's. Then.
There's a lot of McInnes's.
Yeah, and there's a lot of McInnes's in this valley.
But that, the lady that writes for the Elgin paper, she's done some wonderful Century Farm stories, you know, with the families telling what they know about the past.
Really, she's done it. Yeah,
so
she's
the really last 2 years, I don't, how many has she done?
I have
probably
no
20
idea.
Or 30, I don't
but
know.
A lot of them.
We'll have to be sure and dig those up.
Yeah, because they're good. Yes, and they have
very
a lot of family
she's
histories,
done a,
too.
She's done a real good job on it.
And, but then that's about all out in that area. Oh, Craig's lived there. They lived on a road that back of our house, but the road went the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And Choate.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Was there ever a mill or anything out there like that?
Oh, at Dry Creek, right behind the schoolhouse.
Okay.
They had it.
There was one.
What they call it?
A stud mill?
Pine. Pine needles? They used the pine needles for something.
I don't know.
Some kind of a factory.
It was, it was, the mill pond back there was all that was left.
Yeah.
It burned, didn't it?
Yeah, I think it did.
I think it burned at some point in time. It was before my time.
Oh.
Now, Somerville
they had three mills at one time.
They had mills, and they had a brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, they had
back
how
in
many,
those old
how many
before
pubs
my
did,
time.
Hmm? How many pubs did they have? Taverns? Six or something. A whole bunch at one time. But if you can talk to my sister-in-law and her husband, he's got a lot of information. Mary's got lots of pictures she doesn't know what to do with.
Well, before I go, we'll get those names, write them down.
Yeah.
But when you were growing up there, was there still a mill around there anywhere?
Well, there was the remnants of the mill.
But it wasn't operating.
In Somerville?
My husband
came home from Korea and worked at Sylvan Hewitt's mill.
Yeah,
and
no,
Sylvan is still alive. He lives at Richland.
But no, the mill at the Dry Creek Schoolhouse, it was just a shell. We knew where it had been and... There was a lot of remnants left, you know, but it wasn't a mill at that time.
So you had the dancing at the hall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we'll go back a little in history that I would get this in. My father was the rural mail carrier out of Somerville for 39 years, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And he, horse and buggy.
He started in 1910? 1910 to 1948.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Or 49, and might have been.
What was his first name?
Miles Woodle.
Miles Woodle.
And he lived on the farm, and he farmed, and he carried the mail. And our farm was halfway on his route. He'd leave Somerville and go around, and he'd get home in time, and he'd go in, and he'd have a bite to eat.
Huh.
And then he'd get in his rig, and he, well, as I say, he did horse and buggy. And in the wintertime, he had
what are those sleds?
Yeah, I was trying to think.
A sleigh?
It was a mail cart. Only it was on runners.
You know, the ones you see pictures of.
You know, all enclosed and everything.
In fact, Barney had that. He was going to restore it, and I wonder what he did
with it.
Boy,
that'd be something to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did Ruth take over?
Halbert worked for 2 years as a
substitute,
interim.
Interim.
And that was back when they were still your representatives
appointed
the mail carriers. So Ruthie changed her. She was a Republican. She changed to a Democrat so she'd be in the right party to get it. And then she ran it from. That would have been 50 till, gosh, I don't know when Howard Zumwalt.
I don't either, but he was only there, about 3 or 4 years?
Yeah. He moved out of LeGrand.
Ruthie, she mentioned, was her mother-in-law.
Rollins,
and then they brought in one from LeGrand, and he carried about 3 or 4 years.
Substituted for him.
Yeah. Was about ready to retire, and that was his teaching retirement, I guess. She was appointed substitute.
Automatically.
Yeah.
I didn't
because
have
you
to
were
take
the substitute.
Test.
Yeah.
Back in those days.
Yeah.
So that was 75.
But she carried. How long did you carry the mail out there?
Well, I had 31 years, 7 months, and 12 days with the postal service, actually 17 years.
Yeah. So that's sort of in the family. And then her substitute
was my son.
Oh, boy, all in the family.
And then he got a rural route down in Willamette Valley. So he's still down there.
I'll be darned.
He's still carrying mail.
He's another one that had to leave the ranch
to make it. Yeah. Well, I wonder with all the snow out there that he didn't use that sleigh for quite a few years.
Oh, always in the winter. Yep.
And even up to 38.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Of course, the roads were not good like they are now.
Yeah.
They were not built up where the snow would go across, you know. And
had one guy tell me, he remembered, they all talked about, Grandpa always got there, you know, but he had a 20-foot drift in front of his house, and Grandpa and the horses went over that drift. It was packed so solid, you know.
In Somerville, they had this one.
Yeah.
Is that the one you're talking about?
No, this was up at John Lewis's.
Oh,
you know how bad that road used to be.
But at Somerville, they had, I can't think of the guy's name, Shaw. The Shaw Drift. We always had a drift at Shaw's, and that was the house. It's a big old-fashioned type house.
White House, right.
White House on the on the north side of town, on the west side of the street. And it was owned by McDonald's for a while. I mean, it still is, but she doesn't live there now.
McDonald Road, is that the same family?
No.
Oh.
McDonald Road's in the middle of the valley, I think.
You're right.
Yeah, no, this is out at Somerville.
Yeah, I just wondered if it would happen to be
but
the
anyhow,
same related family.
The original owner of that big, square, old-fashioned house was Shaw. And there was a drift, and it went up and down. And now that, I think that was probably as big a thrill as they get out of skiing down the mountain. Go up with the horses and they go down and you just see their tails.
Was that because of the house? It was on the lee side of the house?
Yeah.
And
the wind blew pretty good out there.
Yeah.
It must have been 49. Was that the year we had the terrible
I think it was
winter? It drifted the height of the house clear across the street to the east, you know, and out into the field. And they took down the fences on both sides so people could drive around that drift.
Hmm.
And it was that way for a long time that year.
We used to have a lot of fences, you know. The fields weren't open like they are now. And the telephone lines were not buried, and they have the posts and the wires. And many's the time I've seen my dad drive his horses and his sleigh over the fences, and the ears would flick the telephone wires, the horse's ears.
Oh, really?
You know, it was that.
I'll be darned.
But as I say, the fences were there, and they stopped with brush in them, you know, and the like, and they'd stop a lot of snow and pile it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were.
And that road from Imbler to Teeters used to be, they might still have problems when there's a blizzard, but we don't seem to have the winters we used to. But we've got a picture someplace. Dad, after the war in 47, he got a 47 Ford. I think everybody did about that time.
Yeah.
But that year we had the bad winter. They finally went through it with a rotary plow. And he took a picture of his car in that drift, and it was about three times higher than that Ford, you know. And it was a long ways. It was half the, it started out of town a little ways, but, I mean, went clear to Teeter's Corner and around.
Hmm. You know, I've always wondered why it was called Somerville with all the snow out there. All that.
Because a man was named Somerville.
Well, must have been.
There was a contest or something, some way they had it.
It had
whether to call it winter.
Oh, winter.
Or Somerville.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was a summer man, I think.
Yeah, Somerville.
That day. I was thinking it had to be. It had to be a name, a family
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I was hauling mail, they told me, and this was the state, that I had the worst road for drifting snow of any in Oregon.
Uh-huh. This was in the 70s, was this? You did this?
I quit in
93.
Oh. Be about the 80s then.
Yeah, in the 70s. I started in 75 full time. I was substitute before that for a long time. But.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was like 89 or 90,
I used to
something
swear
like that was pretty
we'd
good.
We'd come out here and there wouldn't be any snow at the airport. You know,
no.
That Lyde Canyon wind just took all that snow right
and
up.
Dumped it right up to Somerville.
Yeah.
Huh? My dad, I started to say that he started with horse and buggy, you know, and that, and it drove him Model T Ford,
mm-hmm.
carrying the mail, and
Model A,
and then he had the, when he went to the Model A Ford,
uh-huh.
and then he had one of the first V8s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
and
the Model B then, that was a 32
Model
or something.
B.
32, something like that, yeah.
Well, he carried over Pumpkin Ridge, and of course those roads just filled full. And he hired, Thelma's dad helped him a lot, and then he had after that another hired man.
He always
Virgil had. Sanderson, and he
Albert
had
Albert Quiverman too.
And Albert Quiverman, that's right. And he would send them on skis. They would, I don't know if he sent them, but anyhow, they would take their skis and they'd go up on Pumpkin Ridge and deliver mail up there so the people could get their mail. Now, I cannot tell you that every person got their mail every day, but they didn't go very long without having mail, you know. So, but, yeah, they don't have to do that now.
And mail was more important then.
It was very,
you know, not as important today.
No, that's what I mean. Me too. We don't have computers. We can't email anybody.
Well, to most people, though, to a lot of people, it just doesn't seem to be important. And
I know.
People have forgotten how to write.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. My grandson left for Singapore this morning. He said, well, when the folks get home, they're gone. They'll be back Wednesday. He said, if there's anything you need to get in touch, just have them email me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, different world.
But he knows that Grandma can't do it, so he has to have somebody else do it. But, yeah, it's It's a different world. It really is. We've seen so many changes. And
her grandson is Chris Hatton that did the movies here.
Oh,
Sammy
really?
Bill and,
oh,
and
really?
Dog
no
Story.
Kidding.
He and his wife. And,
huh.
Well,
you know, I've never seen that movie.
You haven't?
I have not. I missed it when it was. They had that screening here.
There they are.
Oh, boy.
They're still doing movies. And
they've got one they just finished filming, what, last summer?
Yeah, last
summer. In Singapore. That they're getting ready for.
Yeah, they're working on it now and getting it. They're in the last stages of financing.
Filmed in Singapore. She did a movie over there. That was a TV, wasn't it?
I don't know if they used that for TV movie or not.
She got kind of an award for it.
She was over there. Her dad wrote it and she directed the movie.
I'll be darned.
And but they have more things in the fire. Something going all the time.
Well, I know why now. I mean, I missed Sammyville when I could have seen it in the theater, and now I don't know how to, if there's any videos available
well, yeah,
to see it or what.
Usually. Oh, Derv sold out.
He sold
Thursday,
out.
I went down, what day did I leave Thursday? I went down Thursday. He sold his last one on Wednesday, so he'll be calling
me
or
emailing Chris,
probably.
Sunflower Books might have some. They had them at Christmas time, and after Christmas they asked for a few more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Derv has kept them all the time.
Would you ever have any contact with Sammy?
Oh, yes. Sammy's one of a kind.
I guess he is. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, yes, I've been out there, and we went out and fed the crew out there, the movie crew, one day.
At his place.
At his place, when they were filming out there. And we've been out there several times and visited with them. I've seen them. We only go when Chris is here, because Chris is the contact. We don't have any.
Well, how did Chris get on this idea to film Sammyville?
There was a story in the Observer about Sammyville. And it was written by Ari Farnham, is that her name?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And she wrote...
She just got married
last weekend.
Again.
She wrote the story about Sammyville, and it was one of those features, you know, and like they do in the Observer. This was, what, must have been 6-7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris read that, and it intrigued him. And the more he thought about it, the more he thought, that sounds like it would make a movie, you know, it'd be a story. So he and his wife went out there one day, drove out there. They got just so far, and they decided to come back. They didn't go on. And so he called the sheriff and talked to him. And he says, I don't think there's any problem. He said, would you like me to go out with you? And Chris said, well, yes, I would. So he went with the sheriff, and they went out and met Sammy and talked. And Sammy seemed to, I don't know, he just liked Chris, and Chris liked him. And when he wrote the movie, and they went out and talked to him and asked him if they could film out there, and they just gave him carte blanche. They could just do whatever they wanted to do. And
Chris told me that there was no way Hollywood could replicate the...
No, they couldn't.
Because he's got everything sorted. All these lawnmowers are one place, and all his refrigerators are someplace else. And
no, they couldn't. That's right.
When Sammy was hurt and was in the hospital in Portland for a couple of months, it was right at Christmas time, and Chris was down there for, between the times that he came up here for Christmas and all, he was there probably about a week in the Portland area, and every day he went to the hospital to see Sammy.
All right. Now, and Chris is your grandson.
Yes, yeah. Yes. He was raised at Imbler and graduated from Imbler High School and from Eastern Oregon.
Well, how about, do you have any tales of Joe and the Railroad? You probably have a lot.
Well, I don't know if you call them tales. We just know what he did, and he did a lot of traveling, and he was a school teacher. He taught school 2 years at Imbler as agricultural teacher, and then he had 1 year at Amity before he came here, then 2 years at Imbler, and then he taught 1 year at Union. However, he left three months before the term was up because Union Pacific had hired him, and so they let him go so he could go. And he went to Boise as an agricultural agent. They had a supervisor in Omaha, and then he was the first agricultural agent years before the war, before the, maybe even before the Depression. They had agricultural people on the railroad.
Now, was that to care for the right-of-way?
No.
Farm products.
Yeah, to promote farm products and all
I
that.
See, yeah.
Back in those days, the railroads carried livestock. They carried vegetables and all that stuff. Nowadays, they don't. You know.
Right, okay.
But anyhow. And then he was in Boise 4 years. And then promoted the supervisor to supervisor of livestock, and so they took Joe back to Omaha as supervisor of agriculture. And then before he finished up, he had been supervisor of livestock and agriculture. They had the two of them combined at one time after the other guy retired. And he had six men under him, six agents out through the state, the West.
The whole Union Pacific area.
Of course, it wasn't near as big as it is now, the area, you know. But he had one in Portland, one in Boise, one in Salt Lake City, one in Denver, one in Omaha. Did I say six? Where's the other one? Maybe there was only five. But they were all under him, and that's what they did. They promoted agriculture and helped in the developing of new products in the areas, or
he got the grass here and took it back to the Midwest and had grass plots around growing to see what worked best there and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Back in Kansas, they developed watermelons back there. It was a seedless watermelon, and it's grown back there, and it was good, and he got the seed and brought it to a grower in Hermiston.
Oh.
Those are these little round seedless watermelons.
No kidding.
And they're grown all over now. That was developed in Kansas, and he had contact with those people.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
he had lots to do with the state colleges, you know.
The agricultural colleges.
One of his duties was handling the scholarships that the Union Pacific gave to farm youth. They gave a 4-H club scholarship and an FFA scholarship in every county in the states that they served. So they gave a lot, and they had to go to the state agricultural college.
Huh?
But that has gone by the wayside after he retired. They wiped that one out, and now they give only to the...
You may have heard that from him.
Yeah.
People aren't doing things like they used to.
Oh, from Joe.
They don't do things like they used to.
But by golly, I've got the answer here.
Yeah. But he did do a lot of that. He retired after 35 years with the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been retired 30 years. I told him this morning, I said, you've been retired almost as long as you worked for the railroad.
I bet he's saw a lot there. I mean, well,
he traveled a lot. He was gone a lot. He traveled by train because that's the way we did it back in those days.
Yeah.
We hot in Omaha, Margie and the kids would come out every summer.
We spent the summers here.
She's been like my big sister all these years instead of an aunt.
She's like my little sister. It's been that way all these years.
Well, actually, Mom was 24 when I was born, and you were 12 or something.
I was 11.
She's about halfway between us anyway.
There is one more year of age difference in my sister and I than Thelma and I. I'm 12 years younger than she is, and I'm 11 years older than she is. But we've been around quite a lot.
Yeah.
But as soon as he retired, we came back. Well, we actually came back first. My kids, my two children graduated from high school in Omaha and came out here and went to school in the West. They didn't want any more of that.
No, well, I can understand that once you come out here.
Yeah, this is great.
Where are you from?
I'm from Michigan originally.
Oh, Michigan, yeah.
I've lived a lot of places, too.
Yeah.
One thing we did in Michigan, well, it was a lot of skating. Was there any places around, like ponds here, that people did ice skating? Or was that ever popular here?
There used to be.
Sloughs.
Because it's nothing that just people ever do anymore. I just wondered if it was ever happened here.
Well, it quit for...
What you wanted. And
okay, we're talking about ice skating.
Yes.
And ice skating on the sloughs.
And along the river, I don't know that they ever skated on the river, but that along the edge of the river, you know, where the water come in. They used to do that all the time.
Now, were you here? When was the state ditch dug? The main state ditch?
I don't know.
Cut the river off? That was way before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My son has a stock certificate for something. I don't remember what it is. It belonged to the Rollinses.
Oh.
Like a stock certificate from the ditch company or something?
Yeah,
something. Mm-hmm. So, were you really serious farmers then, or was that, you and Joe? Yeah.
You bet we were serious.
We were serious.
Joel was never anything but serious.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we did. That was always what he wanted to do, and that was his. So we bought that land up there, and it was mountain land. That's why it was so, grew grass so well.
Mm-hmm.
And, then we bought some other than the original 80 acres, we bought more. So we ended up with, about 320 acres or something like that. Maybe more than that. That's what Jodell had, I guess, was 320. So we had that. We just had our 80. We just kept it in our name. And it was a full-time job.
Mm-hmm. The only reason I said that is because of the other careers, you teaching, Joe at the railroad.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But I was a farm girl. Yeah. Oh. I wouldn't say it for everybody, but as far as I was concerned, once a farm girl, always a farm girl. There's a lot of people that can't wait to leave, but I love the farm.
Yeah. Well, that's how my wife is. She loves the farm, and so she has it now. I don't.
No, she's got it.
I was tired of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's see. There must have been, it just had the Joseph line out there in near Somerville, near that area.
Well, Reinhardt.
Reinhardt?
Well, they go to Reinhardt or Imbler, but Mother tells that she was sick when she's supposed to take her examinations for her 8th grade, and so sometime that summer, the county school superintendent lived in Elgin, sometime that summer her dad took her over to Reinhardt and put her on the train, and she went down and took her test, and then she came back on the train, and Grandpa picked her up at Reinhardt and took her home.
Mm. And Imbler, now the mail came in on the train to Imbler, and there was a, they called it a star route, and there was a man that lived in Somerville. He'd go to Imbler every morning, pick up the mail. Anybody between Imbler and Somerville was on the road, he'd drop their mail off, and then he'd get the mail to Somerville, and then they'd distribute it so they'd get it ready to take out on the route. And those men, I can still see them on their kegs in front of the store.
Sorting the mail?
Pulling sled, hiking and pulling sleds, too.
No, and just sitting there talking.
No.
You know how the old fellas did.
Or do.
Yeah, I guess they still do, yes.
Now, around Hamburger Hill there's a slide that has covered the railroad tracks there for a while. Did that ever happen in the past that you know of?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. It looks like it had been there forever.
Well, I think, didn't they, not the railroad track, it was the highway that they pushed.
Yeah, but it went down over.
It's down near the old highway.
Yeah.
It's down in there, and there's a slide that
keeps. Well, I think there's always been slides, but just enough, you know, they could shove them aside or remove them, or like, you know, lots of places. That's the first time the whole mountain there moved, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was going to Elgin one day, and I saw a semi-truck and trailer go into that dip, and it went clear out of sight. I was down the hill a little ways, you know.
This
that
was a
dip
few
was
years
that
ago
deep.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's people that knew that was there. And there was that possibility. The gentleman I'm speaking of has since died. But he told the state highway that there would be slides in that area.
Hmm. Another one is where Grand Ronde Hospital's sitting.
Yeah.
That's a slide area. Huh?
I had a friend that was a cat scanner, and he was up there shoving stuff around for him, and he told them it wasn't safe, they shouldn't build there. And so they fired him, got somebody else to shove the rock around, and built the hospital there. So one of these days,
maybe we won't live to see it.
Maybe not.
Maybe it won't be that soon. That soon. This fella, the same fella, his name, I don't know, you may know him, Dick Hibbard.
Yeah.
Well, it was Dick that told the state highway. That was a slide.
Oh, down there?
Yeah.
Well, this was Mickey Dorby.
I know, up here, but down there. And then when they built that highway through and they put all that rock and stuff on the west side of the road, you know, Dick Hibbard stood down there because he owned the property. And he told them how to do it, what needed to be done to protect it. And they put a, what'd they do, put a something under the highway to run some water under it, I think.
Yeah.
Because he said they'd have trouble.
They called them French...
French drains.
Drains, yeah. So it was something different than they'd done in this part of the country anyway, because everybody was...
But, you know, that I don't know now, but I always before, if you talk to the old-timers, you get better information than with all the gadgets that they use.
I think you're right. You're right.
Yeah, both of my grandfathers came over on a covered wagon from Iowa. And were you around when they dedicated this tree up on the campus here? When?
Six weeks ago?
No,
April.
I don't remember them doing that. No.
Yeah, they have a big old elm tree up there. And it's over 100 years old, and they put a plaque on it during Arbor Day celebrations.
Mm.
And it was my great-grandfather that planted that tree.
Oh, yeah.
And there was quite a story in the paper about it. It's an interesting story, but it was pretty well publicized this year.
I don't get the paper, so I didn't.
Oh, oh my, you don't know what you're missing.
Well, you can pick up those little Elgin papers. And you, yeah, you know, every once in a while.
But anyway, this tree, his wife had very poor health and died. My grandfather was the youngest in the family. And her mother can remember them talking about the lady that took care of the baby. Well, I don't know if he was a baby, but he was the youngest in the family when they came. And but the wife died. That would be my great-grandmother. And she wanted to be buried on that hill. They lived below the hill, but she wanted to be buried up on that hill. So he buried her there, and, oh, locust, that's what it is.
Oh,
it's a
is
black
it?
Locust.
Is it?
I think it's a black locust. And they planted, he planted a tree, I don't know if it was at the head or the foot of the grave, and for 10 years he watered that tree. He run a bucket of water and watered that tree. That lasted for 10 years until he died. And that tree is still standing on campus up here.
I'll be darned.
And they put a nice little plaque on it. So we all went up and watched this ceremony.
Now, was this part of the campus then?
No.
No, no, they didn't have any campus. No, no, this was back in 1865. 1860.
Did she,
in the 60s.
She died that soon?
Well, I think so, because Grandpa was... He came over, he was on the covered wagon, but I don't know how old he was. I'd have some place I'm going to have to find out. But
yeah, we haven't had our walk up to the cemetery, have
no,
we?
No, we've got to do that. But anyway, that's... and then the Woodles, they were pretty prominent in the valley, because there were... how many brothers? Five?
I don't remember. And one sister?
And one sister.
Yeah.
The Wall Singers.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know that name.
I know the name, yes.
The one sister of the Woodles that came out was married, and she had married a Wall Singer, and they came with them. And then there were five. But my grandfather was 19 when he came out, and there was one that was 21.
Now, he was born in England, wasn't he?
Grandpa Baker?
Grandpa Baker.
It amazes me that anybody came out here in a covered wagon.
Me too.
I mean, really.
Me too. Just think of the hardship.
I know.
I just can't fathom it. And here we can't go fast enough and get across these old dry parts of the country.
Yeah. We get mad when we can't.
Yeah.
Turn at an intersection within 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's right. No time anymore.
But when did you leave the farm out there?
Joe, you
mean? Yeah.
9 years ago. 9 years ago, the first day of June, we moved into this little apartment. Somebody said, why did you move? Why did you leave? And I said, when you get up in the morning and see all the work that has to be done, and you aren't able to do it, it's time to get out. And that's where Joe was at that time. Mm-hmm. He wasn't able to do it anymore. And and he never really was happy. Oh, I wouldn't say he wasn't happy here. But as long as he was able, he drove out to that farm every day after we came in. And I would tell him that he was moving things from one side of a shed to the other side, and then when he got through, he'd move them back, you know, because there really wasn't anything to do out there, but that's where his heart was, out there.
He worked really hard, well, from growing up. How old was he when they took those horses through?
14.
He was 14, they took horses
near Lemhi, Salmon, Idaho.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lemhi.
To Burns,
he and another young fella, I guess, I don't know if they was, I think maybe the other one was a year or two older than he was, but they trailed those horses from clear across the country to Burns.
Wow.
And he was 14.
That's
at the
a
time.
Long ways.
And then, it's a long ways.
Man.
Yeah. He worked his way through? Oregon State College.
When he was in high school, he worked all the time. As he worked in a grocery store, and he did everything, you know. He butchered, he did all the stuff. And then he raised chickens on his own, and sold eggs, and butchered the chickens, and sold the chickens, and he never had any time but work. And then he went to Oregon State, and I don't know.
Was there anything around here, like you said, chickens? Was there ever any big poultry operation, or was there ever any lot of more sheep?
We had dairies.
We had dairies.
More dairies.
Yeah. There was a dairy back up here someplace. I don't know just where it was. And then there was one out in the middle of the valley.
But there were
quite a few dairies. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Grandma, her mom, lived up here when she was growing up, and she could remember her mom sending her for eggs or milk or something, and going by the old stable and having, you know, stopping to look in because people would dash out on their horses or with their carts or whatever. You know, she can remember being scared of that.